1 John 1:5, and we'll read the first five verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open your word to us this evening, that you would make it plain before our eyes, Lord, that the scales would fall off of our eyes and we would see what it is that you intend for us to understand out of your word. Lord, we know that there was nothing included in the pages of Scripture, but it was your intention that it would bring us to believe, to trust, and to have fellowship with you. Father, we ask that you would show us Jesus Christ and show us what it is that we need to learn from your word. Amen. We'll be focusing in on verse 4 and 5 of this passage here. Verse 4 and 5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I've often heard this verse, and we sing the song, you know, faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and we talk often about victory, we talk about overcoming, but sometimes we overlook the word, the world. What is it that we are meant to be overcoming? What is it that we are meant to have victory over? We focus on the victory part. We focus on the faith, or we focus on the fact that it is being born of God that gives us this victory, this overcoming victory. But we often forget what it is we're meant to be overcoming. We're meant to be overcoming the world. This is God's intention, that we overcome the world. What does it mean to overcome something? Sometimes when we describe overcoming, we say that you overcome great difficulties. You know, there's a struggle and you overcome it. For those of you in school still, English and literature, you've got your story, and the story is only interesting because you have a character who goes through difficulties or struggles and makes his way through them. It's that arc of change that they will then go through. Overcoming is facing something that is very difficult and beating it. It is when you overcome, for instance, cancer. You had cancer and then you overcome it. Well, you beat out. You were on death's door because of this disease, cancer, and now you are free. You are alive still. You overcome. You overcame. And so we are to overcome the world. But what is this, the world, that we are meant to overcome? Are we meant to subdue the earth just physically? You know, we can build houses and roads and tall skyscrapers and monuments and put our names in great big lights everywhere. Is this overcoming the physical thing called the world? Is this what God intends for us? Because there are many nations and cultures and empires that have done a great job of going everywhere. It was said at one point that all roads led to Rome. Why? Because there were roads built across most of Europe, most of around the Mediterranean Sea, all of that area, there were roads, and all of them aimed back to Rome. They put their mark. Even today, some of those pathways or roads are still lined with the stones that the Roman soldiers put in place. This is the kind of enduring mark that they made on the world. They overcame the world, if you want to look at it that way. But this is not the way that God wants us to overcome. God wants us to overcome the world. The world's system. We'll go back a few pages to 1 John chapter 2, and we will find a description of the world. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Of the world. The fruit of the world, the thing that the world looks like, the thing that the world prioritizes, how we can recognize the world is that it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is those things that are the opposite of the love of the Father, that is, God the Father. We find here a description of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When God promises and encourages us to overcome the world, have victory over it through faith, he is calling to us to have victory over things that are both in our hearts and things that are enticing us from outside. He is calling us to overcome the world system. Each one of these points, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, sorry, I got them out of order there. They are all three things that are internal, but they are all three things that the world tries to entice us with. We could take any random TV station on any random minute, and it doesn't take long till you get to the commercials, right? And in the commercials will come up enticements trying to get you to buy. And they will use all three of these kinds of enticements. They will try to say, this is the thing that will please you. It will meet the desires and needs of your flesh. McDonald's is good for that one, right? We're loving it, or something like that. Here's a big burger, and your mouth starts watering, and you're like, I could go for something like that about now. Your desires, your fleshly desires, are inflamed. They are stirred up by the world. Then maybe the next one comes up, and it's the lust of the eyes. Something that looks beautiful. Something that is really nice. Maybe it's a jewelry ad or a car ad. And it comes up showing you the most beautiful setting of that particular thing, you know. The truck is never just a truck sitting in a parking lot like most of them do 90% of the time. No, it's a truck on the top of a mountain with clouds behind it and the sun off in this direction, and it's beautiful. It's the lust of the eyes that the world uses. It stirs up our appreciation for that which is beautiful. The pride of life. Then you might have an advertisement explaining to you how your life will be better. Everyone will look up to you. You will be the popular kid in school because of the new backpack. I don't know what they call them up here. What do they call them? Backpacks? Okay, good. Just different places you go, they're called different things. School sacks, or I don't know, all kinds of weird things. We called them backpacks growing up. A new backpack. And that will make you the most popular, the most well-liked person. It is a pride of station that the world is trying to stir up in us. These things the world recognizes as ways of enticing us away from a focus on God to focusing on things that are temporary, things that are passing away quickly, things of little value. You know, there's not much difference between the new backpack and the old one, unless your old one is falling apart. That does happen from time to time. But then you wouldn't necessarily need the flashiest new one. You wouldn't have to. A new car, wow, that's a great idea. A car that works, a car that gets us where we need to go and fits all of us, that's important. Having one that sits on the top of the mountain, you know, that's not much benefit to anyone. We have the McDonald's hamburger, you know, that's probably not very healthy for you. And while it might taste good, it costs a lot more than making a few burgers at home, generally. You can see then that this is about drawing us and our affections away from that which is actually valuable to put more value on things that are less valuable. What is it that we as Christians should value? In verse 15, the things that we should love is our Father in heaven. And having His love in our heart is our aim. If we were to go to Colossians chapter 3, and you don't need to turn there, you probably remember this one, Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Not on the things of the earth. Our affections, our heart's desires, our aims, our the things that motivate us, these should be what pleases God, should be what pleases Him. If our affections are there, if our love is there, the love of God dwells in our heart, and the world will not have as much of a hold on us. Here in verse 17, we have the fleetingness of the world. The world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, one day there will be an end to this body, this earthly body. It's gonna come to its end. And I can't tell you what kind of an end. Perhaps I will die in my sleep. Or perhaps after years of struggle, I will die in great pain. Or perhaps Christ will come back and I will meet Him in the air. That's a better hope, isn't it, James? Yes. It is entirely up to God, though, how my life will end. But when it does, this body's desires will have ceased. I'm not going to want another hamburger because I don't need to eat to live for eternity. I don't need to eat a hamburger in order to continue to live. Whereas today, if I don't eat for months on end, my body will die. There is a necessity to eating. All of the lusts of the world, they pass away. The natural desires will come to an end. The need for a vehicle, that's going to end. You know, when we have the new body, we will be able to do things kind of like Jesus did. You know, He walked through a wall. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. You don't have to open the door if you can walk through the wall. It makes getting between here and there a lot easier. God hasn't promised us a Cadillac in the sky to drive us from point A to point B. Instead, He has promised that He will be with us and He will bring us with Him wherever He goes. The desire then to have a nicer vehicle will pass away. the need for carrying around bags of books will be over. Amen! There will be no need to carry around bags of books. Nowadays, most of us are getting out of the habit of carrying books anyways. We can all access so much stuff on our phones or our tablets or other electronic means that we can kind of ignore now carrying so many books. But there will come a day when there are no need for books. There won't even be a need for our Bible anymore. I hope, Christian, that you have this lust, this desire, a desire towards the Scriptures. But there will come a day when we will no longer need everyone to tell the other, "Thus saith the Lord," because His Word will be written in our heart. His commandments will be a part of us, and we will see Him face to face. We won't need to read about it. We'll see Him. Maybe a better way of looking at it is, we have attached our affections to God. He is our love. And at the moment, we have a long-distance relationship. We send up the prayers. He sends down answers. He has given us a huge letter that we can go to. One that tells us about Him, His character, His likes, His dislikes. And we know of Him. And we look forward to that day when we will see Him. But once we are with Him, we won't be going back to the love letters that He sent us before. We won't need to. We will be in His presence. This is what our aim should be. And so the world passes away and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. We want to have a lasting impact. We want to have work that isn't undone every day or so. You know, when you build a house, you're hoping it's going to stick around for a few years and you're not going to have to redo all of the things about it. You're not going to have to put the roof back on and the flooring and the paint the walls 10 more times, right? You think, oh, I've got it set. Now I can live in it for a while. But when we get to heaven, there will be no more building of this building. All the work will be forever. Doing the will of God lasts forever. Those things that we do that are earthly, many of them are necessary things, yet they shouldn't have the highest priority in our life. The will of God should have the highest priority of our life. What is the will of God? Well, it's the opposite of these will, the will of the world, the things that the world entices us to. The wickedness that the world tries to draw us to. It is not the love of the world, but the love of God. It is not the lust of the flesh, but the desires of the Spirit of God. It is not the lust of the eyes, but it is what looks good in God's eyes. It's not the pride of our station, but it is the humility of our life. This is what God desires for us, what He desires in us. So back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the victory over the world. What world? Not the world of work, not the world of growing things or the physical buildings of this world, but the world's desires, hearts, ambitions. The things that it entices us to, the wickedness that it draws us towards. These are the things that we need to overcome. We must overcome the world. Verse 5 asks us then the question, who is he that overcometh the world? And this answer that is given for us here in 1 John is a beautiful answer. Because it not only gives us the correct answer, which is Jesus Christ, but it expands it to open up the possibility for you and I. It is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, Jesus overcame the world. He had the victory over the world at his death. He had authority before that and could have claimed it at any time, but he overcame through great hardship the world. And we can enter into Jesus' victory by believing in him. Believing who he is. Believing in him. Verse 4 puts it, even our faith. Our faith is the victory. But verse 5 describes it as believing that Jesus is the Son of God. How can we overcome the world if we are stronger than the world? You and I are just human. We can't go more than, well, in my case, a few hours before hunger will let me know that it's there. Okay? And for some of you who are a bit better at that, maybe you can go a day or two before hunger starts telling you, hey, I'm here. But God is more powerful than the world. He's stronger than it. He's not enticed by the lusts of the world because he is perfect above, all-powerful and all-knowing. He is the one who sustains this world. If we want to look at it from that perspective, the world does not have any power except God allows. The world doesn't have any rain unless God allows the rain to fall. This world does not see the sun except God allows it to shine. These are things that are part of God's blessings on this world, the physical part of this world. But God is not needing anything from this world. He is overcoming this world just by his existence. God can see the entirety of the world. He knows every thought, every action. Every time a little bird tweets in your window at really early in the morning. All of those things God knows, God sees, and he is the one who has the strength and the power over it. We can overcome only because Jesus, the Son of God, has offered to us the opportunity to join him and become sons of God. Given us the opportunity to be born of God, as it says in verse 4. Born of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but someone who is adopted, they might inherit certain things from their adoptive family. Maybe they inherit riches or vehicles or houses. But do you know what they cannot inherit from someone who has adopted them? They can't inherit the attitudes, natures, and looks. These characteristics of the person are directly related to who they were born from. God has not just adopted us, although he has adopted us, yet he has gone way beyond that and given us a second birth so that we can have his nature, his face, his attitude, his little things that are just characteristic of his family. There are some characteristics that we learn and some habits that we have. I don't know if you've ever watched YouTubes about twins and how sometimes twins that have been separated from birth and never knew that the other one even existed, yet when they are brought together, they find out that they, you know, use the same sort of hand motions. They grew up in different parts of the world, and yet they have the same tics, the same unconscious signals that link back to, oh, that's the same kind of thing their dad did. And so there are mannerisms that are, as it were, hardwired into us, that are natural because of how we were born or who we come from. And the same is true. Being born of God gives us natural strength. It gives us the ability to overcome. The state of one who has been born of God is that they should be overcoming. They should be having victory. That faith that characterizes their new birth will cause them to continually be overcoming. I want us to notice that this is not a one-time thing. We can overcome the world and have victory over the world, not just on one occasion, not just that particular day that we got saved, but that it should be the characteristic of our life from here on out, because we are new creatures. We have been born again because we are now children of God rather than children of the world. We are now followers of God and we can overcome the world. We've already seen that we need to set our affections on things above. We've already seen that the love of the world includes the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But now we need to finish by seeing that God wants us to love Him back. And if you'll turn again to 1 John and chapter 2. First John chapter 2, we have the love of the Father. This should be our aim. To love Him and to have His love should be our aim. It says, love not the world, in verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. Now there's a couple ways you could read this. You could read this that the Father's love doesn't abide on him. Or that there is no love of the Father inside of you that's causing you to love him. Either way you look at it, there is a lack of love. We need to love our Father. If we do not love him, we will not have victory because we will not care that the world has our affections and our heart. We will not care that we are doing the things that please us rather than the things that please God. Loving the Father is the only thing that will bring us to our knees and say, God, I want to prioritize you. I want my pride to be that you have stooped down to me. I want your eyes, not my eyes. I want the things you desire rather than the things I desire. This will allow us to abide forever because we will do the will of God. And so we see that we are born of God. We overcome the world. We have victory to overcome the world, even our faith. And so I ask you tonight, do you have faith? Do you love God? If you love God and you have faith, why does the world have such a hold on you? Is it because the world is whispering in your ear too frequently? Is it because you put your time into listening to the world? Or is it because your heart is not really in it? While with your mouth you praise God, your heart is far from Him. There's no love in there. Because we can ask God, give me a love for you. Give me understanding from your word. give me a closer walk with you. These are things we can ask God for because He has given us a new life and He would love to help us to walk according to Him rather than according to the course of this world set on fire of hell. Let's close now with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the fact that we can come to You because You are our Heavenly Father. We thank You for Your Son and our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You that the victory that is offered is a victory to overcome the world. There is nothing here on this world that is more powerful than You or that has the right to overthrow our soul. But instead, You have given us strength if we will but trust, if we will but look to You, if we will believe, if we will trust, You will give the victory. Father, we ask that You would turn our affections away from these things that are earthly, that are here and now, and instead turn our affections towards that which is above. And Lord, we praise Your name. Amen.